make it to the top. To the top, not the bottom of the top. Top talent.
And now, from the basement of his home, set up on a card table with equipment purchased from a defunct Radio Shack, set up in between the furnace and the hot water heater, CMA and New York State broadcaster's award-winning radio personality and hopelessly addicted rhymer, Richie Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice. This is Top Talent, my podcast. A podcast that concentrates on talent who either live here, and when I say here, I mean the Albany area or upstate New York or, you know, the capital region, either discovered talent or undiscovered talent, ones you've heard of, ones you may not have heard of yet, but you possibly could hear them in the future, or maybe some very, very well-established talent that's coming to the area. But again, the key word is talent, and it's all focused around this area. My name is Richie Phillips, but before we get started, a little motivation for you.
The top talent quote.
Here's your quote, something to think about. It was Brenda Uland, who is a journalist, author. She made the following quote. Everybody is talented because everybody who is human has something to express. And that is the whole idea of this podcast. And that has become my job, to find talent and expose it to the world one download at a time. Wow, that gave me chills just saying it. This week, on this particular episode, I have a talent of a different kind, because it takes a great talent to be a great meteorologist, right? Talent comes in all shapes, all sizes, all different occupations. This guy has really blown up the interwebs with his incredible weather prognostications. I guess we'll use the five-letter word there, or $5 word. Every time he prognosticates the weather, it's like right on, and it's so amazing. He has like so many followers, it's incredible. But I may have mischaracterized him, because I called him a meteorologist. I don't think he is. He might have just done this himself. He might have picked up, you know, Weatherman for Dummies book. I don't know where he got this talent from. Maybe he is, you know, maybe he got a doctorate in meteorology. I just don't know anything about him myself. But without further ado and without further blah, blah, blah from me, here he is. And by the way, I have a little surprise for him. He is Weatherman G.
Top talent.
He had 3,000 new followers, according to the latest post that I saw from him. He had 250,000 people in 1 week checking out his prognostications, but nobody's ever heard his voice before, and I've got him on my podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, direct from we don't know where, Weatherman G.
Weatherman G and Richie P. What's going on, my man?
He's in the house. Well, he's outside of the house. Oh, no. Now you went back in the house, right?
He's back in the house. He's back in the house now.
Okay. Now, do you want to divulge even where you are? I figured you were in the capital region, but maybe not.
Yeah. You know what? I'm in right now I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I've been here for about 20 months. On December 19th, it'll be 20 months that I've been down here. But I grew up in the Capital Region in Albany, Avril Park, and went to high school at Avril Park, and graduated in 1999, which makes me 39 right now.
Okay.
And, yeah, man, I really like it down here. You know, it's a big difference with the winter months and the spring months. But yeah, I'm happy, man. I'm really happy to be down here. So,
well, you bailed out in time, and now I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this podcast maybe in June or July. But when we're recording this, there's still like 20 inches of snow on the ground here, so you got out of here right in time.
I know. How about that? What was it last Sunday and Monday? That storm was incredible, man. You know, you were just talking about the numbers on the Weatherman G page, and they were incredible, man. I don't think, you know, I've never had that much traffic for a storm. That was unreal.
Now grade yourself on that last storm. How do you think you did?
Oh, man.
Well, the only conversation I had with you, you said you were going to be worried that you weren't going to get that one right. Was that one really tough?
Well, when we spoke the other week, you know, during that storm or just before it, just after it, I'm sorry. you know, that was one of those storms. It was, because it came in two different phases. You know, you had phase one and then phase two. And it just, you know, phase one overperformed and phase two underperformed.
Right.
And, you know, I originally had said, you know, 12 to 18, and then I took it up to 18 to 24.
Right.
Just because, you know, phase one, I mean, a lot of you guys up there had already had a foot on the ground by that point. And then I'm thinking to myself, man, phase two was supposed to be the bigger of the two phases. And I said, man, if they've already got a foot, 14 inches, and you're talking about another foot on top of that, you're looking at 2 feet, you know. yeah, it was incredible, man. That storm was unreal.
Was there like a teacher, going back to your childhood, was there some teacher locally that was responsible for getting you interested in weather?
Nobody. You know what? It's always been a hobby of mine. It all started out, God, I would say, man, coming out of elementary school, you know, I remember going into early high school. I remember I had a buddy, Mike, and I would go up to the power lines over in Avril Park, right? And it wouldn't be a big storm or anything like that. It would be like lake effect snow that, you know, sometimes reaches Albany. A lot of times it doesn't. But we would go up to the power lines, ride our bikes up to the power lines, and we would sit there for hours at a time, like 3-4 hours, and we would look east or look west towards the Helderbergs, and we would say, you know, is this one going to come over the top of the Helderbergs? Is it going to hit us, or is it going to miss us? And man, it would start snowing, and we'd be like kids in a candy store, you know what I mean, jumping up and down. It was, you know, and we would sit there for hours and hours at a time and just watch these snow showers, and we wouldn't get more than, you know, a coating at best. But man, when it snowed, we loved it, you know? So
now, are you privy to information? In other words, if I wanted to do this myself for some reason, could I go on the websites and find the same statistics and so forth? Or do you subscribe to a service? Where are you getting this from?
Okay, so all of...
What do you want to tell us?
Yeah, right? All of the guys that you guys see on TV up there, you know, Caparizzo and Paul Kiano and Bob Kovacic, Steve LaPointe, all those guys who are incredible, by the way.
Those
guys have some of the best TV meteorologists up there in the entire United States. You guys have an awesome crew of guys up there who do a tremendous job for you guys. But as far as, you know, the models are concerned, we all look at the same models. There's so many different models, right? You've got the main three, which would be, you know, the GFS, which is the American model, the Euro, which is the European model, and the Canadian, which is, you know, the Canadian, obviously. And then when you get closer to a storm within, you know, 2 or 3 days, you've got the NAM and the RGEM and the NAVGEM and the ICON. There's so many different models, right? And what happens is they all have different ideas of what's going to happen. And as you get closer to the storms, you hope that they're going to come into some sort of agreement, right?
Right.
Normally they do, but the models, you know, within the last, I would say, 15 years ago, they weren't available online for people to go and track. Recently, they've come online. You know, Tropical Tidbits is a really good website for a lot of the American models. The Euro model, I believe, is still a paid service, but I believe they're going to make that free. If they already haven't, going into 2020, the Euro is going to be made free and public for everybody. So you look at these models and you make a prediction. And then there's so many other factors too. You know, you've got warmer air aloft versus surface temperatures on the ground, which, you know, is the big difference between freezing rain, sleet, snow. You know, there's so many different factors.
I go online at night and look at European models, but I think we're talking about two different things. I wanted to intersperse a lot of the questions that have come in, because I put this out several times on Facebook for people to contribute questions, because they're really intrigued with you, as I am. I guess we should start from ground level zero here. Nobody knows what G stands for. Do you want to divulge that?
Let's do it, man.
Okay.
So my name, my real name, I don't want to give out my full last name, but Ryan G, right?
Gotcha.
Okay. Our name. And back in high school, for some reason, people would, you know, they'd come up, hey, what's up, G? Or hey, what's going on, G?
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And so it always kind of stuck. And then I don't know, you know, if you're going to ask about how the page got started and whatnot.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to.
Yeah, you know, basically what happened, I think it started in 2008, I want to say. I would have to go back and double check that. But I had a buddy, my buddy Brian, had contacted me on Facebook, and there was a storm coming up or something. And he said, hey, G, what's the weather going to be like? And here I am, and I'm looking at the models, you know, like I normally do. And I said, all right, well, it's going to snow on Friday night or whatever, you know, whatever it was. And he said, man, you should open up a page, of, you know, just a weather page. So I got to thinking, you know, I don't know. You know, so I opened up this page, and I titled it Weatherman G, you know, G for the last name. And I put it up on my personal Facebook page, and, you know, like 20 people had liked it. And then I went and I covered a storm or two, and the next thing you know, it's at 40 people that have liked it. And then it goes to 80 people, and then 160 people, and you get the idea, right?
In a very short period of time, or was it a gradual thing? Or did it just go overnight?
No, it was gradual. I remember we were at, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people. And it was first, it was just people that I knew personally, you know, from high school.
Sure.
And, you know, and then these random different people started showing. And it just kind of spiraled out of control with, you know, the thing that helps me the most is when people share.
Right, of course.
Because, you know, and then you get a lot of new likes. And that's kind of what happened. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, it got to 1,000 people or 2,000 people. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know. And then through the years, you know, I just continued to post about snowstorms. And, you know, it just kind of spiraled out of control to where it is now. You were just talking a couple of minutes ago. There were over 4,000 new people. And I think we maxed out at about 260,000.
Mind-boggling.
Right? For a small, well,
that's for that storm. This past storm alone you're talking about.
This past storm, the one that put down 22 inches. it's incredible, man. And I'm sitting there thinking, what has this become? You know, like, this is me. Who am I? You know what I mean?
You've got to capitalize on this, my God.
Right. I don't know, you know, and I've had some ideas. I've been floating some ideas around, but we'll see what happens. You know, I really enjoy doing this as a hobby, nothing more than a hobby.
Really? So if somebody, a TV station said, we'd love to put you on in Florida, you wouldn't do it?
I don't think so. No. You know,
a radio?
Radio. I could do something with radio.
Yeah. Your voice is good. You could do it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And by the way, I wanted to tell you this before when we opened it up. It is an honor to be on here with a local legend out of Albany like yourself, man.
Oh, well, thank you. A legend. I don't know. Yeah, only in my own mind, not, you know. No, you're the legend. I've gotten to the point where you're such a legend that I've actually written you a theme song.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have. And I don't know. Do you think this is a good time to debut it here, or you want to wait till the end?
It's a jingle, huh?
It's a jingle. I wrote you a jingle. I thought you needed a theme.
Wow. I don't know. It's up to you, man. When do you want to do it?
All right. I'm a little nervous, but all right. Here we go. This is the theme song for the illustrious Weatherman G.
He's always right. He's never wrong. Some in his field say he sticks his nose where he doesn't belong. He's Weatherman G. He's Weatherman G. He may have no degree, but I don't care. He works day and night.
He cranks those reports out. And he's proud to say that he knows the way, though his head's in the clouds. He's Weatherman G. He's not on TV.
Not yet.
It don't matter to me. He's our weatherman. Weather person to our daily lives. He plays a huge part. First thing each morning, I search for his warnings on his colored charts. I love them. He's Weatherman G. Mr. Meteorology. Let's give him the glory. He's our Jim Cantore. He's Weatherman G.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I hired an entire orchestra for that.
That was freaking unreal, man. Wow.
Copies available out there on request, 1995. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know, you have a your reputation procedure. I'm trying to think of all the famous G's. Like you've got Edward G. Robinson. You've heard of him, right? Great actor from the 30s. You've got Garth is a G, right? That's his logo, the big G.
Garth Brooks, right?
Yeah. G Wiz. Everybody says G Wiz, right? When I play the keyboard, I play a lot of songs in the key of G, so that's important. Google's logo is a G.
Google, right.
Right.
That's right.
Gmail, George Foreman, all his kids have names that begin with G. The Giants. These things keep me up at night. You're in a long line of G's, but I think you've got the most downloads.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's incredible, man. I like I said, dude, I am so humbled and honored to have all of these people. And like I said, man, it's spiraled out of control. I have no idea how it is where it is right now. You know, it's wild. Every time I think about it, wow.
So 250,000 people. You're thinking that there's also people maybe out of the area that used to live here that are just interested in. Because it's more than the city of Albany itself, right?
Absolutely, right. Well, I think what you've got, I mean, if you put together Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, you've got probably a million.
Right, out of the three.
Like that. Would you consider, I mean, you were on WGNA for years. Is Albany considered a small market or a medium-sized market?
Yeah, it's considered a medium-sized market, yep.
Medium-sized, okay. All right, I've been getting that wrong then. So. But, you know, just to have that many people on a weather page, you know, something that is weather related. It's mind-boggling to me to over and over. You know, I think about it and it's just me. You know what I mean? If anybody saw me, I know you saw me earlier and you're probably like, oh, man, look at this guy. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely not. You probably said the same thing. I know we're doing this with a FaceTime and boy, we both looked at each other and went, ah. Now your schedule, I know there's a lot of people that look at you, you know, when you post and say, oh my god, he posted at 3 a.m, 2 a.m, then again at 4 a.m. Is that a normal state of affairs for you when these things come up?
So yeah, I'm up. I mean, for the last storm, I think it was Sunday and Monday. So Monday morning, I was awake until about 5 o'clock, and Tuesday morning, I was awake until about 6 o'clock. Basically, what I do down here in Pensacola, my father and I started a business, a pressure washing business.
Really?
Yeah, man, that's a big thing down here.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of the HOAs. Which they don't have a lot of up in New York, you know. They've got some of them, obviously. But down here, these HOAs, they demand that people get their houses and their driveways pressure washed.
Sure.
So during the spring and summer months, it's really busy. I mean, it's nonstop. But you get into, you know, now in December, I think a lot of people, you know, with Thanksgiving and Christmas time, you know, kind of saving up that money and doing the presents thing and everything else. But man, come the springtime, we'll be booked up for, you know, sometimes 15, 20 days straight, nonstop. So, you know, right now it's kind of a downtime. You know, we've got some jobs lined up. And then the other thing that I do is, I don't know if you know anything about the UFC, the MMA fighting where they go in the cage.
You're a fighter too?
No, absolutely not, man. But I do pro wrestling. I own a pro wrestling website and an MMA website.
No kidding.
And I'm a journalist for those websites. And I put up news. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. I got somebody calling me. We'll keep going. Keep going. Yep.
I put up so on a daily basis, I kind of write news and put up news posts, talk to different fighters, and you know, try to get the inside scoop. You know what I mean?
Interesting guy, I'll tell you.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I do for the most part during the day. But like I said, man, in the spring and summertime, it just gets so busy with pressure washing. So that kind of takes over during those months.
Well, you'd be a good person to hire because I wouldn't want my house pressure washed if I knew it was going to rain or like get sloppy mud all over the place. So you could give me the weather forecast too at the same time, right?
There you go. Yeah. Two in one, right?
You're handy to have around. And then if I fight you for the price, you could beat the hell out of me. So,
Yeah, right.
Let's go to some more questions. There's a Lynn Thomas who said, how long have you been broadcasting weather? And how come you're always pretty spot on with your forecasting? That seems to be a common question.
Well, thank you for the question, Lynn. You know, I've been forecasting weather since I would say, you know, when I opened the page and I think it's 2008. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, I started, you know, back in high school. I just loved weather. I would be the kid sitting in the classroom at elementary school. And, man, when it started snowing, you could not keep my eyes from that window, you know. And the teacher's going, hey, I'm over here. You know what I mean? Listen to me. But I just kept turning around and looking out the window. So I've been doing it. You know, I used to come home from high school. And like I said, the models weren't out. They weren't online by that point. And then it became, you know, I would say, I don't know, probably time flies, man. So probably 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, the models came out online and I just started following them more and more and more. And you learn as you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And you know, and as far as the spot on part, look, you know, I've been wrong in the past. I mean, look, I'll be the first one to tell you, there's going to be a storm and it's going to be a complete bust, right? And we're all going to get it wrong, man. You know, nobody's going to get it right. And I'm going to get the comments of, oh man, the weather people are always wrong. You know what I mean? It's just, you've got to look at every model, take the model that you trust, look at the winds and where exactly they are coming. There's so many different factors that are involved, that it's just, you know, I mean, you can get it down to, you know, 4 to 8, 8 to 12, somewhere in there. And, you know, with these coastal storms, and I talk about it all the time with these mesoscale bands that's set up, sometimes these bands, I mean, we're talking like 15 to 20 miles. So you could be in a place, you could be in Albany, and you're seeing very light snow, and then, you know, 15 to 20 miles away over in Avril Park, you're seeing, you know, 2+ inch per hour snowfall rates.
Yeah.
So, you know, with those mesoscale bands.
So what is a mesoscale band? Because I made a list of terms that you throw out there on Facebook that I don't understand, and maybe other people don't either.
So a mesoscale band normally comes from a coastal low, as the coastal low, the perfect storm track for a big nor'easter for the capital region would be from just south of New York City, and then the low would track up just to the east of Cape Cod or right over Cape Cod. And basically what happens is as the storm turns counterclockwise,
right,
as it heads towards Cape Cod, it throws in these bands of snow, these heavy bands of snow.
I see.
And where those bands set up, you know, whether they be right over Albany, just to the west of Albany, just to the east of Albany, that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to see your jackpot totals.
I get it.
And then, like I said, man, sometimes it's like they're 15 to 20 miles wide.
Right.
And it's so difficult to forecast exactly where those are going to set up until the storm is in progress, you know?
Yeah, like this last storm, I remember looking and seeing, like, right in between Albany and Schenectady, like, I live in Niskayuna, there was, like, this narrow north-south band that I've never seen before. It was like, our forecast was so much different than a little bit more to the west of us, and it was just such a narrow... So that's a meso band?
Exactly. Gotcha. That's exactly what that was, especially during part two or phase two of the storm that came, I think it was Monday night into Tuesday morning. That's where you saw a lot of the meso scale banding. So,
okay.
Yeah.
How about, banding. What's a warm nose and a dry slot?
Okay, that's again with the coastal low, right? A lot of times the warm nose is the dry slot, where as the storm rapidly intensifies off the coast, basically what happens, man, is a lot of times you'll get a storm that'll come in from the west. If it's not coming up the coast, you'll get a storm that'll come in from the west. It'll transfer its energy over to the coast, right?
Right.
As it hits the coast, it's like a bomb going off. Think about it, where it gets its source of moisture, right? So it takes the ocean and it just spins and spins and spins, almost like a mini hurricane, if you will, you know? And it rapidly intensifies and it just, you know, it'll throw back that moisture. And the problem is as it pulls up towards Cape Cod or wherever the track is, there will be a dry slot that normally comes up to just about Albany or sometimes south of Albany. It all depends on, you know, which storm we're talking about. Every storm is different, obviously.
Right. Sure.
But you'll get that warm nose as the storm pulls north. It drives in warmer air from the south until it really gets cranking up over Cape Cod. And then, you know, with a coastal storm, at first, you know, you've got winds that are coming from the south, and then they come in from the east, and then they come in from the north. And then as the storm pulls away, you know, goes up into Maine, you're going to have that colder air filter back in from the west, you know. So it's a wide variety of precipitation oftentimes, you know, especially if cold air is not in place. And then a lot of times if you want a good coastal storm, you're going to need that high pressure up in Nova Scotia that basically blocks the storm from moving. I know people are probably so lost.
No, but this is good for a lot of people that are into weather and, you know, they want to know what you're talking about a little more, you know, in depth. You don't really have a chance to explain it when we're all panicking and worrying about getting our driveway shoveled.
Right.
Now we're a little more calm.
There you go.
Let's see. Joan Gould wanted to know what you do for work, which you explained. She said, I'm under the impression that he does it as a hobby, and we think it's very generous of him to keep us in the loop as he no longer lives here, which is really, really true. Do you monitor weather in other areas? Because Steve Caparizzo, for example, who I've known for a long time, and Bob Kovacic, too, I've known them both. I'm weather name-dropping here now. But Steve especially once told me that this is a very, very difficult area to do weather. It's very, very difficult to pinpoint. Why?
He could not be more right on that. I would say, you know, the Albany area is incredibly difficult to forecast.
Because of the mountains?
It's a lot of different factors, you know. It could be the higher elevations. I mean, sometimes you're talking about a difference. You know, you'll go up to, for example, Taberton or Grafton or Steventown. You know, you'll go up in there. And you'll have a couple of inches of snow on the ground. You come down to the bottom of the mountain, and there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking a difference of like 300 feet, 400 feet. So, you know, there's that. You've got the potential for upsloping, downsloping. You've got coastal storms that you've got to watch for. You've got the Great Lakes with lake effect snow off Lake Erie and Ontario.
As opposed to Florida that has just basically two major bodies of water, it's easier there, would you say?
When I get down here, we've got a crew. Pensacola is a really small market down here, mm-hmm. much smaller than Albany. We've got one station down here, which is Wear TV. And, you know, those guys do it. It's so different down here because, you know, you've got the ocean effect, and there will be times where, you know, they'll call for sunny skies and the next thing you know, it's raining. And you're like, what the fuck?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I just, it's different. I don't know. You know, I've never really forecasted. My love for snow and Albany has always been where I forecasted. But, you know, we had a hurricane last year that I was tracking. And
oh, yeah.
That's a whole different freaking animal, you know.
Did anybody tap into you for that? Did you do any forecasting down there at all?
I haven't. No. All of my forecasting for Weatherman G goes right to Albany and the capital region. You know, I just don't know. There's something about Albany. Albany's always going to be home. You know,
nice.
Albany's always going to be home for me. And it's just my love of weather for that area. It's just, you know, that's what I enjoy doing up there. Not necessarily down. And not only that, but it helps to know that I've only been here for 20 months, almost 20 months in Pensacola. So it helps to know, you know, growing up, I've been in Albany all 38 years of my life. You know, I'm 39 now.
Right.
But I've lived there, so I know all the different towns and exactly where they are, you know, compared to Pensacola, where I'm still kind of learning. You know what sure. I mean? Where these towns and cities are. So, you know, maybe at some point we'll do something for Pensacola, but not now. Mm-hmm. And not now.
It's too much. You got too many houses to pressure wash at this point.
Right.
where do you think the technology is going with forecasting weather? I mean, if they have GPSs that can tell me exactly when I'm at the front door of Price Chopper, you know, do you think like in the future it'll be so exact that they can tell you? I mean, you just type in where you live and it'll say you're going to get 4.86 inches of snow at 11:38, you know.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but but yeah, I mean, look, technology is always evolving. I mean, there are people in the weather world or meteorology that, you know, we've got the GFS, which is the American model, and a lot of times the Euro model, the European, outperforms the GFS. So I think that there's a lot of work that needs to still be done on the models, especially the American models. The NAM is normally pretty good. The NAM is the short range American model that comes into range about 2 or 3 days before a storm. That one is normally pretty good. But, you know, that I think, you know, obviously technology, I think it's going to get better, you know.
It always does, right.
It always does. It always does. You know, I mean, who would have thought that we would have these iPhones and everything else? And like you said, you know, a GPS telling you you're walking into ShopRite or whatever it may be.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, it's incredible. So yeah, over time, you know, things will improve as they always do with technology. But yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Well, going back to, let me just think of, you know, this just came to my mind. If the Europeans are looking at their laptop and you're looking at your laptop, you're both getting it from satellites, correct?
Correct. Correct.
So why would it be that much different? Do they have their own satellites? Or you're both tapping probably into the same satellite, aren't you?
You know what? That's a good question. Look, with the National Weather Service and I honestly don't know how to answer that. I see the model maps that come online, right?
Right.
How they are generated, it is through satellite. They come out every, you know, the European is twice a day with the 00Z runs and then the 12Z runs. You know, other models are 4 times a day. And, you know, you've got the 6Z, the 12Z, the 00Z, the 18Z, which are military times, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that, you know. So like 18Z, if I put 18Z GFS, that means 6 o'clock.
Oh, in military. Okay. I wrote down here 12Z Euro and it with a question mark. I didn't know what that meant. Okay. So
it would be the noon run of the Euro, and the double zero run would be the midnight run.
And the Z stands for what?
I do not know.
Oh, you don't know. Okay. Sorry to stump you with these questions. I'm just...
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, this has been fantastic, and I just want to make sure I get to all the questions here because there's been so many. What does the G stand for?
I think somebody that's here with me, by the way, about the Z time, yep. who's been in the military before, said Zulu. So Zulu?
Zulu. Z-U-L-U.
Z-U-L-U. Zulu.
So now I got to ask what Zulu means.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a military term, man.
Boy, I'm walking out of this podcast totally clueless. I lost you when you said I do weather. I lost you right in the beginning.
you learn something new every day, man. Zulu.
Oh, absolutely.
There we go.
That's great. All right. Yeah, we got more questions here. I just don't want to lock these people out. Dana Wilzar said, how much snow should we expect the rest of the winter? I mean, can you, you know, forecast? You're not the Farmer's Almanac here, but that's only been around 140 years probably, right?
Look, that is, I mean, look, personally, I think it's pure guessing, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just a complete guess, but...
No, it's a good question.
It's been around for a long time. As far as snow for the rest of the winter, I can tell you this. I was looking at the longer range models, and it is just storm after storm. Now, I don't know if they're going to be snow or rain. Obviously, that's going to depend on the exact track.
Right.
But it is just nonstop.
No kidding. Oh, man. This is why you're talking from Florida. This is exactly why you moved.
That's what happens, right?
And Dana does make a very good point as well. She said December 1st seems so early for such a big storm. It is, right? It's the eighth biggest storm we've ever had, correct?
It is. It's absolutely early. I mean, obviously, you never know. What was the storm back in the October? Was it like October 7th? 1984?
No, it might have been a little later because we had a house. We lived right behind, for people that live in the Capital Region, we lived behind Stuyvesant Plaza, and we had no electricity for a week.
Right. I remember that storm, and I was probably about 6 or 7, you know, and all the leaves were still on the trees.
Yeah.
So it had to be like
87 or something like that.
87. There you go. 87, yep. Somewhere around there. Yeah, it was about 6 or 7. And I remember that storm, you know, with the branches snapping with all that snow. Yeah. So there are times, obviously, where you can get a good storm early on. Sure. But it seems like, you know, in the past couple of winters, we haven't seen snow until almost Christmas.
No, exactly.
So, this was a big one for so far, you know, for being so early. But, yeah, they happen. You know, they can always happen. It just depends on the exact setup. And, you know, where the jet stream is and all that other good stuff that goes into it. But that was incredibly big. I think it was, like you said, the eighth biggest ever of all time for Pony Airport. And that's another thing real quick is those records are based out of the Albany National Airport, right?
Right.
I know that a couple of years ago, in March, there was a storm that put down 40 inches for somebody. Just remember we had back-to-back storms in March. I mean, they came within like a three or four day period. You know, we had a ton the first one and a ton the second one. And I think one of the storms put down 40 inches for one location.
And I know where it was. I can tell you exactly. Onteora.
Onteora?
Because I was on the air for 30 years, and we always, no matter what, Onteora school was closed. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah. That's another thing. Ichabod Crane, right?
Ichabod Crane. That's right.
Ichabod Crane, right.
Yep. Well, you know, just to show you the importance of weather, when I was on the air, you know, we would put unbelievable amount of hours into, you know, coming up with ideas to keep people interested in games and all kinds of stuff. And still, we'd always have somebody like a consultant would come in and say, you guys do a good job, but you know what the number one thing people listen to, or you know, the number one reason people listen in the morning, and it is traffic and weather. That's all people really care about is getting out the door and making sure water doesn't fall on their head of some variety. So it's true, and you've proved it. the weather is just so interesting to people.
It really is. And I think now, you know, I mean, you're always going to get those naysayers. You know, the weather people are always wrong. They never get it right. But I think now by providing model maps and showing people, you know, talking about the mesoscale banding, I think people are starting to realize, you know what, this is not easy.
No.
This is difficult stuff.
Right.
It's not just, you know, make a forecast and, you know, I mean, there's going to be times when you're right. There's going to be times when you're wrong. And it's just, you know, everybody wants a forecast. What's it going to do in Avril Park? What's it going to do in Saratoga? What's it going to be? And man, if I could give a backyard forecast for everybody, you know, I would, but it's so difficult, you know, like I talked about with that banding. And, you know, when you've got storms coming in from the west, like Alberta Clippers, they're a little bit more easier to call, you know, it's generally 2 to 4 inches, you know. But yeah, but it is, you know, I think people are finally starting to see and realize that a lot goes into this sort of thing.
And, you know, meteorologists shouldn't get defensive because of the fact that you exist. It's just, it's another way of looking at it, right? I mean, yeah, absolutely. And you're not dissing them, and I've never heard them diss you.
No, man, like I said earlier, you know, you guys, the people are in Albany are so lucky to have guys like Caparizzo and Kovacic and Kaya.
Great guys. You guys,
they're really, really, they've got great personalities, and they do a hell of a job,
you know,
working for you guys. So
I think Steve would be more upset if you started getting into the pets, you know, like Pet Connection, that type of thing.
Well, you know what? He is so good, though. You know, that's
I know.
He is so – that man is incredible.
He really is. Who could dislike him? Oh, my God.
Right?
Or
right?
Bob. Or Bob.
Bob is the same way. Yep. Right. Absolutely.
Yep. Have you ever met them?
I have not.
Well, nobody's met you. That's the whole point of this podcast. Nobody's met you, I don't think, up here.
Right? Nobody's ever seen my face. I've kind of been mysterious.
Yes.
Right? You're the guy. I've never done any local media. I've never done any podcast. I told you the other day.
I know. When
man, I said, I'm a little bit nervous, Richie. I said, I don't know, man. You know?
Hey, I'm the one that's privileged to have you on. I mean, because nobody else has done it.
Oh, I just stop, man.
No,
stop.
Seriously, I've been looking forward to this for weeks. I really, honestly have.
I have too, man. A little bit nerve wracking, but I'm hopefully it's all right.
And I'm not going to give away your merchandising ideas, but I'm just telling you that one idea you had is fantastic. You've got to do that.
You like that?
Oh my God! I'm going to be the first in line to buy it.
Right. So let me ask you: should it be a T-shirt?
Oh,
a hoodie?
I didn't want to give it away. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to give I guess everybody already knows the slogan, but a T-shirt, or a hoodie, or a long sleeve shirt. What do you think, man? Because everybody's going to want something different. You know
That's
what I
right,
mean?
Like, right.
You know?
I don't know. Depends on the time of year. I can tell you right now, anything hooded.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, you know, but people wear T-shirts all year round. Sometimes even in the snow, you see some guy with a pair of shorts on and a T-shirt on.
True.
Well, how about you know, mugs? Weren't you going to do mugs?
Mugs as well.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know, but I've got to do, you know, I've got to get the logo down and I've got to get, there's so many factors that go into that. So it was kind of thinking out loud, you know what I mean? But the response I got from it was incredible. So hopefully that's something that I can do in the future, you know?
Everyone wishes you good luck in keeping this. And we're so lucky that you're spending as much time as you possibly do on it because you really put a lot of work into it. My God.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I have fun doing it, man.
That's great. So, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you didn't know, if you came to this late, you were listening to
Weatherman G.
He's Weatherman G, and I really thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Richie. Look, it has been an honor. I've been looking forward to doing this for a long time now. And
same here.
Really, you know, and if I could just say one more thing to all the people that continue to support the Weatherman G page, you guys are incredible. I am humbled. I am honored to have every single one of you guys on there. It means a lot. And I can't believe that, you know, this is where it is today. And now here I am talking with Richie Phillips, a radio legend out of Albany, man. Thank you. And thank you and to each and every single fan that's on that page. You guys are incredible. And I can't thank you enough.
Well, I'm talking to a weather legend right here. All right, take care.
Top Talent is produced, directed, written, and sloppily put together by Ryman Richie. with original music by Ryman Ritchie. Please leave a comment and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting application. Top Talent is a Me, Myself, and I production. I'm Don Barton, and I'm in love with my own voice. Thank you. Top Talent.